It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
In my view, and the view of this government, there must now be an election on Tuesday, the 15th of October.
After MPs voted to block Prime Minister Boris Johnson's ability to leave the EU without a deal if there isn't one by October 31st, he repeated his call for a general election. The man he would face, Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, called it a cynical move from a cynical Prime Minister.
Today he wants to dissolve Parliament to shut down scrutiny. He cannot handle dissent and debate in his own party and has extraordinarily expelled 21 of his own MPs who voted against him last night.
Many of those MPs were distinguished Tories like Winston Churchill's grandson.
Order!
It was a day of acrimonious debate in and out of the House, with Johnson being called, quote, a bully boy, dishonest and reckless in his race to push through Brexit this way. He said it was Corbyn who would take Britain in the wrong direction.
We think that the friends of this country are to be found in Paris and in Berlin and in the White House, and he thinks that they're in the Kremlin and in Tehran
As the drama played out in Westminster, President Trump threw his support behind Boris Johnson.
He's in there fighting, and he knows how to win. Boris knows how to win. Don't worry about him. He's going to be okay.
Even though Johnson didn't get the requisite two-thirds support of Parliament to make his general election happen, many people believe that he and his team are still going to attempt to find a way to make that a reality. So the sense tonight in London is that this latest twist in the Brexit saga is very far from settled.
All right, Amy Kellogg of Fox last night. Sandy Rios with you. I wanted to play that for you because we talked to Katie Hopkins in Great Britain yesterday about what's going on with Boris Johnson and the Brexit process, and that's the latest from Amy. Now, yesterday in our discussion with Katie, I just want to highlight a couple of things, because if you missed that discussion, Jeremy Corbyn is the arch enemy and opposite of Boris Johnson, who is the sitting prime minister, just of a few months here, or maybe even just a month. And Jeremy Corbyn is a socialist. He's much like Bernie Sanders. So here's the thing, though. Katie was telling us that Jeremy Corbyn and the socialists, by various party names, have openly said that what they want to do is confiscate housing. Like, if you are a Brit and you own two homes, they want to take your second home and give it to people who have need of it. And if you're a couple who lives in a house that's too big for you, they'd like to take your home and decide for you what it is you deserve. She also told us that her 72-year-old father cannot get hip surgery because the British Health Agency has declared he's too old, and so he can't get it. And that's socialism. That is socialism. And that is what our young people are clamoring for. That's what the Democrats are clamoring for. All the candidates are clamoring for this. So I just wanted to make it just to underscore what we discussed with Katie. If you didn't hear the show, you might want to go. You might want to go to AFR.net and listen to it. You know, there's two ways that you can listen to the show. You can go to AFR.net, or you can download the AFR app, you can listen to the podcast at your leisure, or you can listen live. You can listen all over the world, and so I recommend it. I use it myself all the time, and so I hope you'll avail yourselves of that. And on a practical level, of course, Hurricane Dorian is making its way up the east coast of the United States into the Carolinas, and we don't know as far as Maryland and touching maybe even in Virginia and D.C. At some point in the next couple of days. I want to say that As always, we support the work of Samaritan's Purse. We trust them a great deal. I personally trust them a great deal. That's Franklin Graham's, one of his many duties. He was the founder, and he's still CEO of Samaritan's Purse. So they're sending a plane in with emergency shelter material. If you would like to donate, let me just suggest that you go to Samaritan's Purse online and do that. That's a place where you can trust that your money will get where it's going to go. There's so many scandals about people taking the money that people in good faith give. They did that in Haiti. Remember what a embarrassment that was? They sent millions of dollars, people, American people, to relief for Haiti, and it never got to the people. And so don't let that happen. So if you want to donate, I'm just telling you, your best bet is to go through Samaritan's Purse. I want to do a little housekeeping thing here. A listener, Rich, wrote to me to correct me, and I'm glad he did, because I said to you 2 days ago that the Bahamas, the population was 17,000. That's not true. The Bahamas, the population is 395,361. The confusion is, really, it's just my own ignorance. As I said, I've never been to the Bahamas. I'm not much of a vacationer. Honestly, I'm not. So I'm pretty ignorant. Don't talk to me about sports or dogs or vacation spots. But who knew that the Bahamas is a collection of different islands? So it's the Baco Islands that was hit the hardest. And they're the ones that had the population of 17,000, not the entire group of islands that is the Bahamas. And so I just wanted you to know that. All right. So, we're not that far off from the horrible happenings in the Brett Kavanaugh hearing for the Supreme Court. And so you may not remember that the reason that she claimed that she came forth was that she had a sense of civic duty to provide information that she thought senators needed to know before voting on Kavanaugh. So this was her, you know, I just out of a sense of duty, I came forward. I wanted people to know what kind of a person he really is. Of course, now we know that what she said was not true. But now there's further evidence that she had a different motivation. Her attorney, Christine Katz, was lecturing at a university or speaking at an event just a few days ago. And this is what she said was the motive for Christine Blasey Ford to come forward and testify against Brett Kavanaugh. Let's listen.
Aftermath of these hearings, I believe that Christine's testimony brought about more good than the harm misogynist Republicans caused by allowing Kavanaugh on the court. We were going to have a conservative. Elections have consequences. But he will always have an asterisk next to his name. When he takes a scalpel to Roe v. Wade, we will know who he is, we know his character, and we know what motivates him. And that is important. It is important that we know, and that was part of what motivated Christine.
Okay, she goes on. That's part, in case you didn't catch that, since it cut off a little bit. She says, Kavanaugh will always have an asterisk by his name. When he takes a scalpel to Roe versus Wade, we will know who he is, we know his character, and we know what motivates him, and that is important. It is important that we know, and that is part of what motivated Christine. So Christine might not have, you know, come forward because she had a sense of civic duty. It might have been that she was trying to stop Kavanaugh from stopping Roe versus Wade. At least that's what her attorney said in that appearance, and that's pretty significant. I want to give you some updates on the all things Russia scandal, things that you might not hear elsewhere. President Trump tweeted just yesterday, "The truth is that we have a nation that is disgusted with the FBI. We have a crisis of confidence in the number one law enforcement agency in this country. Thanks, Comey. It's a scandal. To declassify it is so important because if this were a Democrat president or a Democrat candidate that was spied on the way President Trump was spied on, this would be a scandal that would make Watergate look like nothing. Illegal spying of the president of the United States." And then this is the response. James Comey jumped in. Mr. James Comey, he's so innocent. And he's waiting for the apology from all of us for accusing him of lying, which he did do, but he claims he didn't do. This is James Comey's tweet. "Despite 2 years of Trump's lies aimed at degrading the FBI, it remains a revered institution made up of good people focused on finding truth and doing justice. Stay true to your mission. America needs you." And of course, he directly was saying that to Christopher Wray, David Bowditch, and Dana Buente, telling them to stay true. You know, hold the line, don't spill the beans. I think that's what he meant. And so that's just an interesting little sidebar of the last 24 hours. Also, the ACLJ has filed a lawsuit against the FBI because the FBI, under Christopher Wray, continues to stonewall FOIA requests. They will not release information. They will not redact the Peter Strzok, Lisa Page texts more than they already have been released. And we have reason to believe that there's really very interesting information that is redacted, not because it's national security, but because it makes the FBI look really, really bad. And so the ACLJ is filing a lawsuit against the FBI. And one of the things they allege, and we've talked about this, but there are so many avenues, you may not remember that the special group at the FBI placed spies in the White House. James Comey did that. They were planted by James Comey, and the ACLJ writes this. It sounds like a Hollywood movie, but political espionage and spies. But the sad truth is it's not fiction. It really happened, and we're taking action to find out how, why, and what they said. The ACLJ says they have reason to believe that at least one of those spies is still on at the FBI. And so they're trying to force the FBI to hand over those FOIA requests. They're calling them to account for the fact that they're stonewalling all these requests. So we'll see what happens from that. Also, Devin Nunes, the congressman, has filed a lawsuit against Fusion GPS claiming racketeering and conspiracy because, of course, they tried to smear Congressman Nunes and the House Intelligence Committee. So that's just another wrinkle. Very interesting. Meanwhile, Andrew McCabe, he's out fundraising for Democrats. Of course, he is suing the Justice Department. He got off, you know, scot-free, at least so far. Andrew McCabe, that guy who lied and leaked information to the press, who was the second in command at the FBI. So he's out. He's going to be in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, raising money for the Lancaster County Democrats' annual fall banquet. And so he's busy. And then last but not least, this is something I want to share with you. This is pretty amazing. Remember that we know now, although it hasn't been spelled out as nicely as it should have been yet, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, was very much involved in this nefarious deep state attempt to destroy Donald Trump, to destroy any opposition to what they had been doing. Remember that this President Obama called Islamic terrorists committing mass murder workplace violence. Remember that? He sent plane loads of cash to an Islamic regime that proclaims death to America. I'm reading this from an article by Lloyd Billingsley. The president, formerly known as Barry, deployed the FBI, CIA, and DOJ to clear his chosen successor, Hillary Clinton, and undermine candidate and President Donald Trump. Now, this is what Lloyd writes, and I'm going to have to hurry through this. This is in a book called Becoming by First Lady Mrs. Obama, Michelle. The president spent the first 20 years of his life going by the nickname Barry. Somewhere along the way, though, he stepped into the fullness of his birth name, Barack Hussein Obama. Michelle does not note, though, in all his writings from 1958 to 64, Kenyan Barack Obama mentions nothing about an American wife and a Hawaiian-born son. And then there's the Netflix show that's coming out about the Obamas, and they glorify his years at Columbia. Describe it this way. It says, it charts his college years in New York when Barry, as he was known, wrestled with his racial identity. It talks about how handsome he was and how important and how he took the campus by storm. The problem is, as Lloyd Billingsley details in his article, no one at Columbia, even in his area of study, even in the small groups he claims he was affiliated with, no one remembers him. No one recognizes him. And even when he became a Senate candidate in Illinois, no one who graduated with him could figure out who he was. And so that mystery remains. And so I know that's not new information to some of you, and yet it's important. What was this man? Who was that man? Barry Sotero from Indonesia, who did the things that he did, who then oversaw the undermining of a duly elected president and tried to help Islamists around the globe. Who was he? It's worth asking the question. Coming up next, Victoria Tensing. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Here's Walker Wildman for Redeem Clean Laundry Products. Not only do you get a great product and you get to obviously clean your clothes, get the stains out and use the multi-surface cleaner to clean your countertops and use the dryer sheets, you're doing all of this and the money's going to support the work of American Family Association.
Redeem Clean Laundry products were developed by AFA supporters Len Ingram and Jim Duncan to assist in funding the mission of the American Family Association. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made right here in the United States.
The great thing about Redeem Clean is not only is the product great, but it goes to support a great cause, and that is the work of American Family Association.
For clean laundry and a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Visit redeemclean.afastore.net.
Are you the mother or father of a struggling son or daughter? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Most teenage problems are caused by hormones, immaturity, and brain development. So if your son or daughter is going through a rough time, here's some good news. It's just a phase, and it won't last forever. In the midst of the turmoil, continue to reach toward your teen with love and grace, even when they don't deserve it. And over time, your relationship will change for the better. Remember, God never gives up on us, even though we constantly blow it. Instead, He gives us grace. As parents, we must be willing to do the same. Mom, Dad, make it crystal clear to your teen. I will never, ever give up on you, no matter what.
Find books and other resources online at ParentingTodaysTeens.org. That's ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Ronald Battori, administrator of the Federal Railroad Administration. Mr. Battori's agency supports our nation's railroad transportation system by promoting safety and by enforcing transportation regulations. Psalm 119, verse 105, reminds us that God shall guide us in our travels. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Ronald Battori as he works on behalf of our country's railroad system. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Can't we just agree to disagree? That story next.
True at McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truitt.edu today.
There is a national effort underway by a leftist mob to identify and boycott small businesses that are owned by supporters of President Trump. The Boycott MAGA website says they have already identified 100 businesses in the Pittsburgh area alone, and their goal is to ridicule, alienate, and boycott the mom-and-pop stores, to do economic damage. That's what it says on their website. They are not the only ones determined to expose and punish those who want to make America great again. President Trump is scheduled to attend a fundraiser in Hollywood during the Emmys. Deborah Messing, the star of Will and Grace, urged people to publish a list of everyone who attends the fundraiser. She wants to blacklist anyone who disagrees with her politics. It's modern-day McCarthyism. There was a time in American politics when you could agree to disagree without being disagreeable. I sure do miss those days. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Today, I am announcing that I will resign as governor of Missouri, effective Friday, June 1st, at 5 p.m. The last few months have been incredibly difficult for me, for my family, for my team, for my friends, and for many, many people that I love. This ordeal has been designed to cause an incredible amount of strain on my family. Millions of dollars of mounting legal bills, endless personal attacks designed to cause maximum damage to family and friends. Legal harassment of colleagues, friends, and campaign workers. And it's clear that for the forces that oppose us, there is no end in sight. I cannot allow those forces to continue to cause pain and difficulty to the people that I love. I know, and people of good faith know, that I am not perfect. But I have not broken any laws or committed any offense worthy of this treatment. I will let the fairness of this process be judged by history. The time has come, though, to tend to those who have been wounded and to care for those who need us most. So for the moment, let us walk off the battlefield with our heads held high. We have a good and proud story to tell our children. Let's love them and each other every day.
All right, that was the voice of Eric Greitens. He's the former governor of the state of Missouri, and that was his resignation speech on May 29, 2018. Why would I bring that up now? Because behind the destruction of Eric Greitens was a force who's behind the destruction of lots of people in the United States and public service who have the wrong views on things, from George Soros, the billionaire Hungarian that we talk about so often here at this microphone. But I want to talk about his interference with so many races and so many people across the country, his invisible hand that most people don't know about. And someone who's been tracking this closely is Victoria Tensing. Victoria is a partner with her husband, Joe DeGeneva, at DeGeneva and Tensing. Victoria and I got acquainted, I think, during the Clinton scandal years, but also during the Valerie...
2 centuries ago, Sandy.
Yeah. It seems so. Yesterday, the Valerie Plame affair, which I'd have to go in a real sidebar to talk about that. That kind of links into James Comey. Maybe we'll do that, Victoria. But tell us about, first of all, this really story about Eric Greitens is new to me, and that's not what we're going to just center on. But what was the story there? What was behind what took him down? Was he, I think he was accused of an affair of some sort.
Well, Eric admitted to having an affair, and what the Soros-funded DA, Kim Gardner, did was then falsely accuse him of taking a photograph of the woman and quote-unquote publishing it, you know, like under the law of the publishing can be sending it to one person. But she never even had a photograph. This is Soros's kind of technique to ruin people. Gardner had to dismiss the case the day before trial, but no matter, Soros won because this young Republican, up-and-coming star, a Navy SEAL, a Rhodes Scholar, a Purple Heart Medal of Honor winner, had to resign. So Soros prevailed. And you know where else the Soros DA is? How about Chicago with the Smollett case? Kim Fox. How about Philadelphia, where there were all kinds of killings over the weekend?
Yes, my understanding is Houston also, Victoria. Yeah, so, but let me just go back to a broader question first. I remember when George Soros first came to my attention. You've been in D.C. much longer than I, but I remember when going, this is still a long time ago, in 2001 and 2, when I first got to D.C., hearing about George Soros for the first time and his intervention. I remember him pledging to defeat George W. Bush. He didn't care how much money he had to spend. He was going to defeat Republicans. That was my first entree. When did his path cross your radar?
Well, I guess about the same time. I've always known how he was out funding left-wing causes, but I didn't know how he got very clever recently and decided he was going to undo the American justice system. And so he has funded these DAs, over 20 of them successfully, by the way, because the people don't know. Let me just tell you, there's a race right now in Virginia, because Virginia has odd-year elections, so 2019. Soros goes in and in the primary defeats the moderate Democrat. And then the people are so used to voting Democrat, the Soros kind of DA prevails. Then the next technique is to lower bonds, not have prosecutors bring charges. Kevin Graham, who is the Chicago Federation of Police, was on Fox and Friends this morning talking about how the prosecutors in Chicago, where it's, as I said, a Soros-funded DA, that Kim Fox, who screwed up the Smollett case, that they're not bringing charges. And he says that's why killings have gone up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. He didn't know, unfortunately, to say that Fox was funded by Soros, but she was. So Soros is trying to break up our system of justice. He's also penetrated federal law enforcement in Eastern Europe. He has NGOs, and they're supposed to go after quote-unquote corruption. But what they do is they make up false charges about competitors of George Soros in Eastern Europe. He owns Ukraine. He ran the embassy under the Obama administration.
The moniker that he uses, the grand title, which many people are embracing, even I'd say on our political side, a criminal justice reform. That's the big banner. And of course the guise is that. And there's always some truth to these kinds of grand statements that maybe the black Americans are mistreated. That's the overarching umbrella. Black Americans don't get a fair deal in our American justice system, and so that's why this champion criminal justice reform process. But the truth is, truth is very different, Victoria. What is it that he's trying to do by coming in and supporting these radicals in the criminal at these prosecutor levels? You said it, but repeat it if you would.
Disruptor. He doesn't like the United States. He's from Hungary, and he hates the United States, and he's made a lot of money here, and he's using it to try to undo our democracy. Let me give you an example, because people should know names. In Fairfax County, Virginia, he funded to the tune of $500,000 a district attorney's race, defeated the Democrat, and the Soros nominee is named Steve Descano. Now, a Republican, Jonathan Fahey, got put on the independent ticket because that's all that was left. It was after the primary, and people were seeing that it was a Soros person that was the only person that was going to win. And so Jonathan Fahey is running against him. But this is what he wants: to ruin the United States, and people have to know about it, and people have to fight him and know who's funding their local DAs, who are races that people hardly paid attention to before.
Right, and of course, in local races, you don't need that much money. But he's pouring, as you said, tens of thousands.
$500,000 for a local DA race?
Yeah, yeah, and then nobody's paying attention. You know, because they're watching a network television, and, you know, they don't know what's happening in their county, Fairfax County. So you've got a guy, let me repeat this, Steven Descano, who is the Soros candidate. And then you have this guy who, from all accounts, Jonathan Fahey, has a tremendous record. And as you said, he was a prosecutor for 19 years in the Fairfax County Commonwealth Attorney Office and the U.S. Attorney's Office. He's prosecuted gang members, drug traffickers, fraudsters, and murderers. He's received a high-level award from the Department of Justice. So he is really jumping in there to run against this Soros candidate. But who's going to know, Victoria?
I don't know. We just have to keep working on it. And by the way, just one more follow-up to the Eric Greitens story.
Yeah.
The investigator that Kim Gardner brought in, she didn't use her own staff to investigate or the own local police force. She brought in a retired FBI agent, for God's sake, who has now been indicted for his conduct in this case, and she is under investigation. But she says, oh, this is racist because you're investigating me.
Is there any recourse for somebody like Eric Greitens? You know, I've seen I had to overstate it, like the turning of the worm. It seems like there's some little tiny glimpses of justice I think about the Employee Labor Department that was accused of anti-Semitism, who's been reinstated in the last 24 hours. I know that's a different subject, but we're talking about slander against people. So Eric Greitens has been slandered, undermined, and hounded out of office. Is there any recourse for him, Victoria, from your perspective?
Yeah, there is. I think it's probably wise that he waits until the ex-FBI agent either pleads guilty or goes to trial and to see what happens with the investigation with Kim Gardner. I mean, it's much more efficient, I always say, to potential clients to let the government do the expense of the investigation, and that's what's happening in Missouri. But, I mean, it's outrageous what these DAs are doing under George Soros. And people, wake up.
Yeah,
wake
and
up.
Also, you know, to also put some paint some color on this story, Victoria, I think what we see in the streets with policemen, we see them, many of them are good men who are, you know, putting their lives on the line, and many of them are losing their lives. If you do not have a prosecutor backing you up in the courts, then the police really are, I mean, they're flailing. They don't have any support, any backup. And that's the danger, real danger to people that they need to understand. And that's why...
That's exactly what Kevin Graham said this morning. He said, we were in New Orleans at a conference of police officers, and the New Orleans mayor supports the police, and you could tell that because they had a good rapport, and their attitude was really great because they knew the mayor, that's also the elected officials, had their back. But he said that's not the way it is in Chicago.
It's terrible. It is horrible. And and then, of course, Soros is spending incredible amounts of money in this election cycle. He spent, I think, he's already put in $20 million. For this election cycle. He's formed a group called Democracy Pack. I think he's on track.
He makes up all kinds of names. The one in Virginia is Justice and Public Safety Pack. I mean, it sounds great.
Yeah, it does.
In Ukraine, it's anti-corruption. It's called capital A-N-T, capital A-C, anti-corruption, you know, in some foreign language, Ukrainian. But in truth, it pursues people who he wants out of his way. And that's what Soros is doing. Disrupt the American justice system, get his competitors out of the way, and make some more billions to throw into the pot.
You know, I think it's interesting and notable to me that Soros did very well financially under Barack Obama. Remember, I'm sorry I can't be specific, but I remember some deal offshore, maybe it was Brazil, where Soros got some contract and made millions and millions of dollars. And he got a lot of favorable treatment during the Obama years. And with all that money, then, of course, he spends it very generously on things.
He was given open-door policy by Victoria Nuland at the State Department. So I would assume that he was given information ahead of time. She talked to him all the time. He called her by her nickname, Toria. Which is not a nickname that I would want with the name of Victoria, but that's what he called her.
Well, you shall never have it. I'm wondering, I've always wondered why no one has gone after him. I understand the money.
It's time.
He destroys people anyway.
It's time. By the way, John Solomon is going to be coming out with a story about Eric in the next couple of weeks. So people should look to it and find John Solomon. Because he publishes some great stories. In fact, that's how I learned about it. John asked Joe and me to meet with Eric and find out his story.
Well, that's great. Let me just mention this Commonwealth race again, because I want to mention the names again. This is Fairfax County, and Jonathan Fahey is the guy running as an independent.
He's a good guy. Fahey, good guy.
All right, and Stephen Descano is the Soros candidate. Victoria, now let me ask you an honest question here. I didn't give you any warning about that. I would love to pick your brain about the Comey stuff, but I don't know if you have time.
Sure,
honest answer. Well, listen,
I have a meeting with Rudy Giuliani at about 10 o'clock, so I can make it.
Okay, well, hang on then. We're going to take a very short break, and when we come back, let's talk about all this mess, because I've been covering it every day, and I'd love to know what you think, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Victoria Tensing, my guest, and we'll be right back, and we will talk about all the things, what she thinks about the Comey thing. You know, she lives with Joe DiGenova, and I told her yesterday I wish I were a fly on the wall hearing those discussions, so maybe we can all be a fly on the wall and find out what Victoria can share with us. All right, stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk. We'll be right back.
For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Apple has formally apologized to Siri users this week after revelations emerged that the company paid contractors to listen to and transcribe anonymized audio collected through its Siri function. There have been countless instances of recordings featuring private discussions between doctors and patients, business deals, drug deals, intimate physical encounters, and so on. These recordings are accompanied by user data showing location, contact details, and app data. In short, ladies and gentlemen, your devices are spying on you.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. We as God's people need to be good stewards of all that He has given us. That is so important, and that's what drives me each day as I break down the latest financial numbers and talk to listeners across the country about their use of the money that God has entrusted to them. Join me each morning from 8 to 10 Central and Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock Central Time for Financial Issues right here on American Family Radio.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch. Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. A blast of common sense from Whoopi Goldberg, of all people. A movement is afoot on the regressive left to out every Donald Trump supporter in America, to tell their fellow regressives where these people live, where they work, and what businesses they own. Surprisingly, Whoopi Goldberg is pushing back on this perfectly dangerous idea. Said Ms. Goldberg, people can vote for who they want to. That is one of the great rights of this country. You don't have to like it, but we don't. We don't go after people because we don't like who they voted for. We don't go after them that way. Do not, she says, encourage people to print out lists, because the next list that comes out, your name will be on it, and then people will be coming after you. Common sense from the ladies on The View. Perhaps there is still hope for America.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Hard leftists seem to think they can, with complete impunity, demean, revile, and delegitimize law enforcement personnel. For such radicals, the ends justify the means. Their relentless assault on those charged with maintaining public safety is just one technique being used to achieve the larger goal of replacing our constitutional republic with a socialist or even communist one. Fortunately, such an agenda doesn't enjoy much support from Americans. Yet, its pursuit in this fashion will predictably have near-term consequences. Specifically, relentless attacks on the conduct or even the lawful duties of local police, border patrol, and immigration and customs enforcement officers inevitably ravage their morale and over time may erode their willingness to serve. So-called sanctuary cities, criminal justice reform, and catch-and-release policies undermine the rule of law. We need to have the backs of those responsible for enforcing it. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
It's remarkable in a democracy that one man can have the ability to remake our justice system, but it sounds to some extent that's what George Soros is doing. What are his priorities? What are his goals in doing this?
Well, first of all, I would say that I think in a lot of ways, Philadelphia is the laboratory where this experiment in Soros-funded prosecutors is playing out. And now the returns are in, to a certain extent. Larry Krasner has been in office for about a year and a half, funded by Mr. Soros. And we can look at the data and we can see what has happened to Philadelphia. And as you said, homicides have skyrocketed, shootings have skyrocketed. The worst kinds of violent crime have really gone up. And in addition to that, some of the low-level and the mid-level crimes have also gone up, but they aren't being reported. And the reason they're not being reported is because the DA has said he's not going to prosecute them. So you have statistically a bad situation that has developed in Philadelphia, but actually the reality on the ground is even worse than the statistics. And what Mr. Soros, I think, wants to do is that he wants to implement his radical agenda, and he realizes that he can't do that through the normal democratic process. Normally, if you're going to try to get criminal justice reform, you have to do it through the legislature. You have to get broad public support for the kind of changes that you want to institute. He's taking what I would describe as an illegitimate, anti-democratic shortcut by trying to purchase DA elections, and then once the DA is in place, he or she doesn't enforce the law. And presto, you've got criminal justice reform.
All right, that was the voice of U.S. Attorney William McSwain on Tucker Carlson in June. Just to kind of recap what Victoria and I were talking about, George Soros has spent tons of money now in local races, especially now targeting prosecutors. He's been successful in Chicago, Philadelphia, Houston, and, of course, in Missouri, bringing down Eric Greitens.
And Eastern Europe, Sandy, that's scarier because it's federal law enforcement he's penetrated.
Yes. So let me repeat that now, for those of you listening in Virginia, there is a race now coming up in Virginia that pits
Fairfax County,
Stephen Descano, who is the Soros candidate, against an independent named Jonathan Fahey, who has a great record, who's jumped in to challenge this candidate. So this is worth sharing the word about this. And by the way, we will put one article on our Facebook page so that you can read and share it with your friends. It's called Set Back George Soros, Support Jonathan Fahey, and it's by Paul Mierengoff. And so Victoria Tensing is my guest. Of course, Victoria is a partner with her husband Joe at DeGeneva and Tensing, and she's an expert on all things scandal in D.C., whether she wants to be or not. Yeah. So I want to ask you, Victoria, I think people are asking, will this second Horowitz, Inspector General Horowitz report that's going into the FISA court and the dealings there and the authorization of warrants, illegal authorization, really, based on that phony dossier, will this next report do any damage to James Comey, or is he really and truly getting off scot-free?
Well, I don't know about getting off scot-free, because he could be. He could be indicted. Of course, Horowitz can't do that. He's an IG. He can only give a report and recommend indictment, which is what he did with Comey on the leaks. And then the Justice Department, and I actually agree with it, decided not to proceed with an indictment. But he's still under investigation. He signed the application for a FISA warrant, and at the very top it says verified. That's what the application has to say, so that the court can trust what the government's presenting before it. And he Comey has said it was unverified. John Solomon has done reporting where there is a chart that the FBI has, which has not been released yet, where they put out the allegation and then had checked if they could verify it. They couldn't verify 90% of the allegations in the dossier.
And so, to be clear, it's a sworn statement. When the FBI director signs those things, it's a sworn statement. It's not like you signing whatever you sign on a daily basis. This is a sworn statement. Like, under penalty of law, under penalty of perjury, I'm signing my name, verifying that this is accurate and reliable. And he did that, what, three times?
There were four applications. I'm not quite sure how many times his name was on it, but it was on the initial one at least.
Okay.
There was the first one and three renewals, which Rod Rosenstein signed and said, oh, I really didn't read it. I'm telling you, I did those kinds of things when I was at the Justice Department. I reviewed those kinds of documents. And if I had gotten a request to spy on the political opponent who is now the president of the United States, I would have read every word.
Well, yes, and you have to take that seriously, and that's no excuse. I mean, it's like, honestly, now, regular people can understand this, too. If I sign a contract, I don't care if I didn't read every word. I'm responsible for what I sign.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they certainly understand that. When they're actually, their business is understanding that. That's another person, Rod Rosenstein, who's got really just skated out of this thing. And that's he who recommended, you know, the president entertained the notion the president should be declared incompetent, mentally unbalanced, whatever the words were. This guy who cooperated with James Comey to appoint a special prosecutor. They had to have been talking. How did he get off scot-free, Victoria?
Well, I don't know that you could get anything criminal that he did. He could always talk about good faith. This is what the people told him to do. But he's a better lawyer than the lawyer that he was when he authorized a special counsel. The guidelines, the regulations for appointing a special counsel say where there is criminal conduct to be investigated. Now, they're not as clear as they should be. It should say only when there is criminal conduct to be investigated. But it makes clear that it's a criminal investigation that's being anticipated. And what Rosenstein did was sign an authorization that called for a counterintelligence investigation. Why is that important? Because there's no limit what the FBI can ask. If there's a bank robbery, if there are false statements being made, you know, a specific crime, Sandy, then the FBI can go out and just interview people about that specific conduct. But when it's like it's the world, it's a counterintelligence investigation. So that allows the FBI to say, hey, General Flynn, have you ever been talking to any Russians? Hey, George Papadopoulos, when did you meet some Russians? I mean, they could just go out and you know, almost say, did you have Russian dressing on your salad? You're under arrest.
Yeah, it was really, it's like entrapment. It's like entrapment because it's so broad. Yeah.
The scope of what they could do with a counterintelligence investigation is so different than a criminal investigation. Shame on Rod. He knew better.
Yeah, shame on him. I agree with you totally. And now the Comey situation, James Comey, you must have been stunned when he came out with his tweets right after he found out he wasn't going to be prosecuted. The audacity of waiting for an apology, and now today he's responded to a tweet by President Trump calling for the declassification of information, and I forgot exactly how he worded it, but. And he aimed that at the FBI. He said, we need to have a full account. Stop stonewalling, basically. And James Comey jumps in and tells Christopher Wray and others, stay strong, you know, hold fast. So,
Christopher Wray, there's another matter. I mean, that's, you know, he's James Comey redo.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Christopher Wray is protecting all the bureaucracy. He thinks that the way to protect the FBI is to put all the dirt under the rug when, in fact, it's to shake the rug out and clean it.
Yeah, managing the corruption is the way I've heard some put it, that Christopher Wray is managing the corruption, but keeping the lid on it. And the ACLJ this morning, Victoria, has reported that they are actually going to sue the FBI for refusing to release information, refusing to respond to FOIA requests. Do you think that has a chance of getting some traction?
Sure. Yeah, I do. I do. And, you know, thank God for these FOIA laws, the Freedom of Information Act laws, because that's the only thing that's revealing a lot of this stuff. Can you imagine if Hillary had been elected, all of this would have been swept under the rug, and they would have known that they could weaponize all the tools that in my prior life in the government we used to capture bad guys and spies.
That's what they've been doing. I mean, it's stunning. It's drop-dead stunning.
And the media has cooperated.
Yes, absolutely. The
screwed up Washington Post calls Joe and me that we are conspiracy theorists for saying that Trump, they did this a year ago.
I'm sure they've said worse things, and I'm sure they will say more, and you're used to that. You're used to weathering those kinds of words. Otherwise, you couldn't have stood this long. But there's a story that just came out to my attention this morning. Huma Abedin's laptop, to go back in time here, Victoria, that's the one where we know that all of Mrs. Clinton's email were downloaded. Anthony Weiner's joint laptop with his wife, the BlackBerry communications. Do you know, according to this guy, Sundance, who you probably know, but I don't know his identity.
Yeah, I read Sundance.
Okay,
husband makes me, yes.
All right, well, I read it too. But he is saying this morning that laptop was never reviewed for intrusion by the FBI prior to the 2016 election. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know anything about that, but if that's the case, then that's unforgivable. I mean, but they were sloppy. Look, Hillary had her lawyers who had counseled her about setting up her computer system. So they should have been witnesses to the investigation. Those lawyers were allowed to sit in with her in her so-called interview.
Yes.
I mean, it's just outrageous.
Well, and
my
understanding
is that in the Justice Department,
and they didn't have to turn over, as I understand it, their laptops, and their laptops were actually destroyed and bleach bitted by the FBI
in an agreement. You do X, and you can destroy your laptops. I mean, they broke every rule in the book.
And we have to add also, the agent in charge of that investigation was Peter Strzok.
Oh Lordy, Lordy, yes.
Yeah. So. Okay, but I want to go back for a second because of your history with James Comey. I read a really interesting article by Holman Jenkins. Oh, it's an old article. It came out in 2013 about Comey's past, his prosecutorial excess. That's the way Jenkins refers to it. You had dealings with him over the Valerie Plame issue. What was your take on him before he ever became FBI director?
Well, he's the one. This is the same old group that set up a special counsel to go after Scooter Libby. Who I got a pardon for, by the way, last year. But in going after Scooter Libby, you know what they would say to Scooter's lawyers at the time? You give us Cheney and all this will go away.
They actually said
that. Give us Cheney and this will go away.
So basically, for people that don't know, Scooter Libby went to jail for allegedly outing.
No, he did not go to jail.
No.
Bush commuted his sentence. Okay. So that he did not go to jail, but he still had to pay a fine. His life was ruined. His law license was taken away. And then, a few years later, Judith Miller, who had testified against Scooter at trial, because the special counsel whom Comey appointed and who is his best buddy, Patrick Fitzgerald,
yes.
Yes. Judith Miller read Valerie Plame's book and realized, oh my gosh, I remember now my notes. Oh, I testified wrongly. And she recanted her testimony, and that's when Scooter got his law license back. And then I petitioned Trump, the president, to give him a pardon, which he did.
You know, Victoria, I don't know if I ever told you this. This would be something you and I'd say over coffee, but I'm going to say publicly here. Patrick Fitzgerald, of course, was the prosecutor out of Chicago. I knew him because I'm from Chicago. Not my bosom buddy, but I knew him. And I actually heard Patrick Fitzgerald during the Valerie Plame issue, which was very serious for those who, like Scooter Libby, who had his life ruined over it. Patrick Fitzgerald cooperated with James Comey in really hiding evidence, and they knew exactly who had leaked Valerie Plame's
Richard Armitage.
Yeah, and yet they carried on for 3 years, destroying Scooter Libby's life because they wanted to get to Dick Cheney. I heard Patrick Fitzgerald on NPR in Chicago on public radio, laughing about the Valerie Plame issue. You know how they do this sarcastic.
Is that the way Comey laughed about how they set up Michael Flynn?
Yes.
That the same laugh?
Yes, same kind of laugh. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe my ears because the audacity of that. And that was a number of years ago. So, Victoria, it's always a pleasure talking to you. And thank you for all that you and Joe have done, really in ways I'm sure we'll never know, to help preserve this country. So, but we got to keep fighting.
I know you
will. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks,
you
Sandy. Take care of yourself. Okay, thanks so much. All right, Sandy Rios with you. Interesting stuff, don't you think? And more than interesting, you know, it requires prayer on our parts. I really don't know what else is going to reverse this except God himself. I don't. And if I didn't trust him, I'd go crazy. I would. But I too trust him. Nothing's happening outside of his knowledge. And he will get justice for all of us someday. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.